Blog Talk Radio.
You. Every
Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. This is Reverend Stan, and today we are actually interviewing Evangelist Christopher Hicks. How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing great this morning. Great to have you on here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Amen, amen. How you doing, Shane? How you doing out there in Florida?
I'm doing very well. Excited to be here. Good to meet you, Chris.
Hey, Shane, how you doing, man?
I'm doing excellent, thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, this is going to be a great day in the Lord, and we're going to just be talking about Chris's experience and what's been going on in his mission work and all type of unique miracles that he saw God do through his ministry. It's going to be an awesome day today in the Lord. Chris, I want to start out. Can you tell us your testimony?
This actually is about, I would say about 12, 13 years ago now. And I used to tour in a band. It was a kind of a reggae rock band, and we were making a lot of headway, and we were out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And a lot of the group of people that I was hanging out with, they were very much into different gods, you know, pretty much Hindu, I guess you could say, like very new age kind of way of thinking. And we were making a lot of headway in the music industry. We were playing with bands such as Sublime and other bigger bands, just like members of Sublime, not the actual group, but just a lot of famous people, Bernie Worrell. And, you know, from the perspective of the world, you know, like I had everything, you know, I had money. We were, you know, meeting a lot of people. I mean, it was just like what the world thought would be awesome. And, you know, for me, you know, I was actually becoming very, very empty inside. And so one day I was just like, you know, I need something. And if I don't find what I was looking to fill in my heart, it was just going to end tragically, because I was actually contemplating suicide. So I prayed one night for about from 9 o'clock till about 3 a.m. It was a long time, and I was in tears. I was just crying out. I was like, God, if you exist, please show me yourself, you know, just reveal yourself to me. And so a few days passed, and me and my fiance at that time went to go visit her parents in Rochester, Minnesota. So we went down there, and we fell asleep in front of the fireplace in the basement. And around 2 a.m., 3 a.m., I woke up, and I was shaking and drenched in sweat. And I had a dream that took place in the desert. And I don't remember what had happened in the dream, but I knew it was very, very powerful. And it was something that was not normal, at least for me at that time. And so I was looking at the fireplace, and all of a sudden a little flame popped up, and there hadn't been a fire in there for a good 8 hours. And a flame rekindled, popped up, but I felt a presence, an ancient presence that I knew had been here forever. And at that moment, my body completely calmed down, and I was given peace. And I knew at that very moment, God existed. And so a couple days later, I was working downtown Minneapolis at a coffee shop, and this guy, he was a pastor that I hadn't seen for years. He had come in front of the coffee shop. He pointed in there. He's like, there you are. I've been looking for you. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, you are the absolute perfect person that I needed to talk to. And so I told him what had happened. He was like, well, that was from Jesus. And he's like, you're going to have another experience. And I was like, oh, okay, you know. And so sure enough, exactly 7 days after the first experience, that's when I had a dream. And I was in the desert. And me and my friend Sean, who at that time he was in the music industry, and we were really, really good friends. But we were going through this dark, dark thunderstorm, like really, really dark. It was raining, lightning, thundering, and everything. And we're trying to go through in this desert, but we're in this vehicle, but we're getting stuck in this mud. And finally, out of frustration, I was like, why are we trying to go through this darkness? Why do we keep on trying to see what's on the other side of this darkness? And so we decide to turn back around. So we turn back around, and on the other side, there's the most vibrant blue sky that I've ever seen in my life. But there's, I see thousands of white doves flying in the sky. I'm like, oh my gosh, Sean, I was like, look at this. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And all of a sudden they start taking formation. They start stacking one upon each other, like But it was just like how they did it was so perfect. And I was like, Sean, stop the car. We need to get out. Something big is happening. So he stops the car. We get out, and I'm looking up, and the doves had formed a white cross. And the cross had turned from one end of the sky all the way to the other. And on the left, well, there was another cross, and on the right, there was another cross, but they were smaller. But they all had actually – the cross actually had turned into a cloud at this point. And but the cross in the middle was plain and simple, and it just it emanated pure and perfect love, a love that I've never felt in my life. It warmed my body completely. And while I was just sitting there, and I was just captured by this, you know, it was the beauty of it, the simplicity of it, the love in it, and it had a warmth to it. And all of a sudden I was taken up into it. I was raptured up into this cross and I merged with it. And I felt what if, I guess the only thing that I could relate it to would be, like millions upon millions of volts of electricity coursing through my body, but it didn't hurt. Like it had so much power in that cross. I mean, it was just absolutely phenomenal and amazing. And while merged with this cross, I saw the people who were actually binding the rope together to make the cross, like in the center of the cross. I actually saw them doing that. And then I felt the blood of Jesus pour out on the cross, which was a very, very powerful feeling. It was just, it was life, basically. It's almost like the fountain of life, you know? And so I felt that, and all of a sudden I was back down at the desert ground, and I'm looking at the cross to the right of Jesus's. And this one's like starting to blink and dazzle, try to like with all these different colors. But I felt nothingness, and it was like kind of I was in a trance, but there was no life in it, nothing at all. And so I get out of this trance, and I hear this rumbling voice, and it said, "Believe," and it brought me down to my knees, and I see this pigeon at the same time that voice had said, "Believe," and it was the voice of God because it shook everything. But this pigeon comes down out of these white doves that are still flying around, only around the middle cross. And it comes down. I held out my hands, and the pigeon starts attacking my hands. And I try to get away from it. And instantly, I appear in this village in the desert. And I'm telling my best friend is there. I'm like, "You got to believe." I was like, "You got to believe." I was like, "Jesus is real. Jesus is real." And he just like looked at me, and he just turned his back, and he's like, "I don't believe you." He's like, "Whatever, Chris." And he walked off from me. And I felt so hurt that even my best friend at that time wouldn't believe me, you know? And so then I woke up drenched in sweat, shaking once again. But at that point I was actually a Christian now. So it was like, I woke up, you know, that night before I was not a Christian, but at that morning I woke up as a Christian. So that was my testimony. How I can, yeah.
That's an awesome testimony, Chris.
Yeah, it literally rocked my world. I mean, I completely was a new person after that point. Honestly, you know, I'm not the type to sugarcoat anything, but I did ended up staying in the band scene for a while because I thought like I could be the one that could convert these people. You know what I mean? And the end of my dream actually ended up coming to pass, you know, for that. My best friend, he actually told me one day, he's like, "You're freaking me out," you know, 'cause I was like a on fire Christian all of a sudden, you know what I mean? So, it really did. I got that same feeling that I did in the dream where I was just like, my heart sunk. And I was like, wow, you know, not everybody's gonna receive the gospel with open arms, you know. I did eventually learn that, you know, these people that might not be accepting it today, that is a seed that you're planting, though. You know, that's a seed for some of those people that you're actually planting. And I've actually had people from that scene come to me later, actually within the past couple of years, and say, "Hey, you're the first person I thought of." And they were like, "I just want to let you know that I gave my life to Jesus." And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. You know, that's like the best news a person could ever get. So.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, Let us break us in and let us know a little bit about your ministry and what your ministry does.
Okay, so the ministry, I've been doing this kind of stuff for a good 10, 15 years, you know, and it was pretty much right after my experience with Jesus. And how that happened was actually another miracle. And there was a man, his name is Nelson, and he is out of Jinja, Uganda. He had contacted me, and this was back in the MySpace days. So this was, you know, pre-Facebook. And he wrote me a message. He was saying, whether you believe this or not, but he said, God said, told me that you could help my organization. And I was a little, you know, like, should I do this? I haven't really dealt with anybody from Uganda or anyone like that. So I looked into his organization. I prayed about it, and I got a good feeling that I should go ahead and do this. Well, so I ended up helping him out, you know, within a couple of years, ended up raising quite a bit of money for him and bought him a plot of land. But, you know, I was still doing the touring and stuff like that. So I went on tour with the band, and we were kind of nonstop at that time. So basically I was just like, I told him, I was like, I really can't, you know, raise money and support for you at this time just because I'm so busy. And so he ended up branching out, reaching out to another person in Norway. Well, long story short, he ended up getting, meeting the Prime Minister of Norway on that trip, and got donated $2 million by the Prime Minister of Norway and building a hospital and a whole bunch of stuff. Well, he ended up becoming a member of parliament, which ended up giving me a lot of connections to the Ugandan government and other governments throughout the world, which was just kind of blew my mind, because this was actually a prophecy that was spoken over my life that I'd be put in front of political people. So prophecy that had been fulfilled. Now, basically what we do as far as an organization as whole is basically what I was telling you is, like, we help orphans. We help widows, like, wherever God calls us to go. As of recently, we have set up four different directors, one in Kenya, his name is Silas, one in Uganda, his name is Patrick, and India, we have two in India. It's a couple, Babu and Swapna, and then Pakistan as well, and that's Pastor John. And basically that kind of cuts back on any kind of people that are trying to use it for selfish gain. Because, you know, I literally every single day I get hit up for financial support from this person, you know, and like, I really don't know these people, you know. So I have these directors set up as like eyes and ears, and they're very, very anointed people, trustworthy people that just love Jesus with all their heart, you know. So basically we do that. We're really, really, really big in evangelism. We set up crusades and other events like that, or we do a lot of street ministry when we go out of the country. And it's just really about showing the power of Jesus Christ and showing the love of Jesus Christ as a, you know, as a fivefold ministry. We want to hit every single aspect of the ministry just to show, you know, like, hey, Jesus is a living, living God, you know, and he's there for you and he loves you and he's the only way to salvation. So that's, you know, we will go to any place that is needed. We're not scared to go to, you know, countries that are heavily oppressed, you know, such as India, wherever we need to go, really, we'll do it. So.
Amen. Amen. Shane, you ought to ask me a few questions.
Yes. I had a question, about, you know, I'm one of those people that lives in the United States. I have a lot of friends who are Hindu in religion. And I wanted to ask you, what do the Hinduish people think about Christians, and what would be the best way to reach them for Jesus? I've been in their house doing some work, and I see their idols everywhere, and I spoke to them about them, and they kind of look, atmosphere turns a little bit weird, and they don't say much about them, but I wanted to ask you about that.
You know, I, as far as the approach, I mean, obviously, as I believe we all know here, is that it has to be Holy Spirit led and driven, you know what I mean? And so nothing can be done, void of the Holy Spirit. So if you're in the flesh, it's going to be, it's just obviously it's not going to work to its full benefit. You know, so as far as that's a really good question. You know, like I've you know, been also in, you know, Hindu people's homes and things like that, and are friends with Hindus, you know. What I've noticed is that they, when truth hits the heart and it convicts the heart, that can be a way that will open a person that is Hindu up to the gospel. Love, you know, the love of Jesus, you know, having the love of the Lord working through you is another big way. The showing the power of Jesus through signs and wonders, you know. You know, Mark 16, verse 17 and 18 says it best, you know, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So it's like things like these that people are noticing that is different about Christians, you know, because they have the love and the compassion that they go out just to disciple people, even though they might get that kind of opposition. And I've had that too, where you walk into, you know, a Hindu family's home, and they kind of look at you like, oh, you know, this, they're a little hesitant just because they're so rooted in what they believe. You know, I mean, that's a religion that's been in India for, I believe, about 4,000 years, you know, and that's quite a long time to be held in bondage. So breaking that, you know, it's Holy Spirit led is what it boils down to. You really just have to be led by the Holy Spirit and what Jesus wants you to do, because Jesus has a way better plan than any single person on this earth does.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Amen.
I have a really cool report. So the last time I was over there, and they're a good friend of my wife, that's how I met them, but I was over there, and the husband, I was witnessing to the husband, and he said, "If your guy's real, then I've got this strange thing on the skin of my ankle. It's been growing on there for quite a few months, and I can't get it to go away. If you can pray for that and that'll go away, then I'll believe you." So I said, "All right, let's do it." So I prayed for his ankle. He felt this crazy tingling go through his leg. And then I checked back with him in a week, and he was like, over the phone, and he said, "I don't know what you did, man, but I'm really freaked out because it's gone."
Wow.
So that was really cool. So exactly what you said, that must have made a huge difference. And to light that fire and to get them to think. I've got one more question for you. I heard a story I wanted to hear from you about an Indian guy that locked you up in an apartment for a couple of days.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow. I don't know. Did I post?
I didn't know. Well, you told me about it. Me and him talked about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Well, okay. So this is a very interesting, it kind of goes back to the United States to start off with. So how this trip ended up happening in the first place, I honestly didn't have a desire to go to India. But I had a dream 2 years ago that I was going to be going there. And in the dream, there was all these false idols set up and these really big statues, tall statues. And they were on these hilltops. And these people were bowing down, worshiping these statues. So they, you know, I got a holy, righteous, I guess you would say, anger, you know, that came up and boiling out of me, where I just couldn't keep my mouth closed. And so I started preaching about Jesus, and these two guys ended up coming and putting me in handcuffs, and they ended up beating my knuckles with a metal rod. They were forced to let me go because they had no just cause. So I woke up and I knew I was just going to India. I knew I was going to go to India after that point. So fast forward a couple years, I ended up getting contacted by this man who said that he had, the Lord had given him a dream, and in the dream, the Lord said my name specifically, that I would be coming out there. And so he was the first one. And then another couple had a dream as well. This the woman, her, Swapna, who's actually the director of Upper Room Missions in India, she had a dream that I was preaching in her church, and the Lord said my name and said Upper Room Missions. So these two, both of these two people contacted me. Well, that first person was the director at first. So we ended up having, he was our first host as far as when we took our trip to India. So we go out there, and he was saying, he was trying to tell us not to go and preach on the streets, or at least, you know, go witness to people and testify about Jesus. And we're kind of like, well, this is the why we came out here, you know. So a lot of the time we weren't really doing anything. We preach in his church a couple times, and we also went to this pastor's meeting kind of thing, which I enjoy, you know, because, you know, pastors need to be on fire for Jesus, you know, so they need to be edified, you know, which is awesome. But I would be, I rather would be speaking to people that need Jesus, you know. So one day we took a nap because, as you know, Shane, India is very, very hot and humid. And so we were relaxing. And we slept for, I think, about 45 minutes, and we woke up, and we woke up to being locked into this household. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, this is just not cool. And it was like three or 4 hours before anybody came back. And it's just like, we weren't even told that, you know, like anybody was leaving, you know. It's just like, kind of like, what is going on here? And we, Michael and I are like, we're people that hit the streets, and we just want to go. We want to tell people about Jesus. We don't care what happens to us, you know. I honestly, by my dream, I thought that I was going to get arrested or something. You know what I mean? So I was prepared for it. I was prepared to take whatever and endure whatever what was going to happen out in India. So we go, you know, like his son finally comes back. And we were able to actually go out and witness to people. But he was, you know, really honestly, he was trying to stop us from doing a lot of this stuff, like witnessing. And before I went, I was actually kind of considering not having him be director. And I told the board of directors here, I was like, you know, I'm really thinking about switching the people and going to Swapna and Babu instead, just because he was trying to tell me that what I was going to do and not going to do on my trip while I was in the United States. You know, like I told him I was going to go over here and go to this, you know, other area in India, and he was telling me that I shouldn't do this and arguing with me. I was like, this is not a good situation, you know. So the Lord specifically told me before we went out there that where the signs and wonders happen, where these things are following us, is the people that we are supposed to appoint for as directors of Upper Room Missions. And well, the signs and wonders were happening with Babu and Swapna. So the Lord, I mean, nothing, literally nothing happened the whole time we were with this gentleman in Chennai, you know? So it was pretty amazing, you know. But I mean, God has a plan for everything. He wanted to show us and lead us to the right people, which we truly feel we completely have the right people as far as directors out there.
Amen. Amen. Give us one great miracle that you saw on your mission trip.
One great miracle? Well, boy, that's such a tough one. But okay. Can I do two?
I don't know how much time we have for two, but just give me one.
One good miracle? Okay, so, well, there was a woman that was demon-possessed. She was a Hindu. She was 17 years old. Her mother, they didn't speak English at all. Completely just non-English speaking people, and they needed Babu to interpret. And we were out in the village, out kind of in the middle of nowhere, and they come up, and Babu's saying there was a witchcraft spell put against this young girl. And I was like, okay, you know. And I was like thinking, well, I was like, witchcraft or Hindu, it really doesn't matter. You're opening yourself up to demons no matter what at that point, you know. And so we start praying, me, Michael and I start praying for this woman, this young girl, and instantly she starts manifesting the demons and starts screaming, growling, and then she also starts speaking English. And
oh,
I'm like, wait, I was like, she doesn't speak English, but the demons know English. You know what I mean? So, they're saying, stop it, shut up, get away from me, you know, things like that. And just like, you know, looking at me right directly in the eyes. And she's also crying some tears of like, milk. It was like 2% milk. And I've never seen that before in a demon manifestation. I've done deliverances before, but she's literally crying, you know, these tears out, like white tears. Soon enough, like we start singing, you know, worship songs, and we're praying over her, and we have her give her life to Jesus. And she's, you know, we ask for the Holy Spirit to fill her heart, and she kind of stops for a little bit, and we're praying for healings for other people. Well, there's another person that we're praying for, and then all of a sudden we start hearing that growling coming from her again. So I go over to her, just start praying for a little bit longer, and she completely, her demeanor changed. She ended up becoming completely, all the demons were cast out, and she was a born-again Christian at that time. And, you know, when they're saying they're looking at Stephen, how they saw an angel, and he had a face of an angel. When I was looking at that young girl, she had that same face. She was glowing. She had a smile. Her eyes were lit up, and it was just absolutely amazing. So it just like, just the fact of her coming to Jesus and being delivered, it just really touched my heart, because you could see her being tormented by these demons. She was crying. She wanted to be set free, and nothing better to see someone set free and give their life to Jesus.
Hey, man, that's an awesome story, Chris. That's an awesome story. Yeah. Now, how can somebody get in touch with you if they want to, you know, talk to you or learn more about your ministry?
Well, they can just go to www.upperroommissions.com. So it's UPPERROOMMISSIONS.com. It's like a mouthful, but upperroommissions.com. They can learn about everything that we're doing. We're also doing a documentary about revival, and we had awesome people that we interviewed. Daniel Kalenda is one of them. We got the people from the Smithton Outpouring, Pastor Steve Gray and his wife. We interviewed them, but a lot of other awesome interviews too. But yeah, you can find out everything about our ministry, what we do. We just love testifying to Jesus and helping people out in the name of Jesus. We just absolutely love it. That's what we're all about. So
that's awesome. It's awesome that a ministry that does a lot of outreach and, you know, going overseas and teaching the Word of God and just ministering with the people, not only doing crusades, but ministering with the people and helping the local people in the area. That's awesome. But Chris, I want to
is a blessing.
Go. Yeah, amen. Chris, I want to thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's awesome.
It's been an awesome day in the Lord, and maybe we'll have you come on here again sometime.
Hey, yep, I'll make myself available for you guys anytime. So it's such a blessing to be able to testify to these things. So
it's an awesome day in the Lord. And thank you, Shane, for coming on too.
You are welcome. It was great to be here. Great to talk to you, Chris.
Yeah, you too, Shane.
Been a great day in the Lord. And we'll see y'all again next Saturday. God bless every one of y'all, and have a great day. Little